Because you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show, I know that you are a classy, intelligent person. And so I've been meaning to ask if maybe I could get your number. If you're not doing anything this weekend, maybe we could get together and, talk about Ron over a couple of drinks. I mean, we don't have to talk about Ron, but he is kind of the thing that brought us together. So, you let me know. For right now, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thanks for coming.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm not kidding you. It is. And believe me, when the show ends in about half an hour, I guarantee you're going to say to yourself, "Thank God that's over." At least that's what I say. I don't know about you. Welcome to the show. How are you? Hope you're enjoying yourself. If you can't enjoy yourself, how can you enjoy other people? You can't. If you can't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? You can. Okay, welcome to the show. Nice to be with you. Well, in my spare time, of which I don't know if I really have any, when I'm not doing anything, is that considered spare time, or is that exactly what I want to do, and that is my focus of doing nothing? I don't know. I think too much. That's the problem. I think too much, therefore I am. Every once in a while, when I'm trying to occupy my time, I turn to junk. Americans are obsessed by junk. We surround ourselves with junk. I have a lot of junk surrounding me, but I keep my junk in a junk area. Some people live in junk, like hoarders. They get stuff, they surround themselves with stuff that they got, and they feel incredibly comfortable. That's a psychological problem. But in the long run, who cares? If you live alone and you're a hoarder, what difference does it make? If you live with somebody else, that's disrespectful. I'm just saying. I have, in just about every room in my abode, I have a junk drawer. If you ever have nothing to do or it's raining outside, which isn't the case because there are droughts all over the place, but if ever it does rain again and you're stuck inside your abode, your apartment, your house, whatever, or your Quonset hut, whatever it may be, living in your car, all right, then your glove compartment has junk in it. Every room has a junk drawer. And if you ever want to get a landscape of who you really are, open up your junk drawer in any given room and go through it, and you will discover what kind of person you are. I'm serious. I did that yesterday. I have a junk drawer, one of them, and I went through it, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I found stuff in there that I hadn't seen since 1932, and I'm not even that old. I found pencils from the Blitzkrieg. I found my keys to my car 5 cars ago. I found video games that don't work anymore because they're so outdated that the batteries won't even go in. It's fun to go through it. And then you find pennies. Oh, God, what the hell am I supposed to do with these things? What am I supposed to do with all this loose change? Nobody uses loose change anymore, unless you're elderly and you're at a supermarket checkout aisle or something. Now, that'll be $23.72. All right, here's $23. Wait a minute, I have the change. Let's see, 50, 55, 65, 70. Will you move the line, please? Oh, and I have, let me see, I know I have a few pennies here somewhere. Hold on, do you have a couple of hours? Just hold on for a sec. I know I have some pennies somewhere. Oh, God, please. The only thing good about technology are credit cards. That's a good thing. I have a credit card, and all you do is you tap it on the machine, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to slide it into anything. You don't have to swipe it. Nothing. You don't have to put it in. You don't have to swipe. All you do is you give it a little tap somewhere on the machine. Where on the machine I tap, I still don't know. But I tap it in its vicinity, and then I put it back in my wallet, and I'm done. I don't have to search for pennies or that kind of crap. You know, technology is so great. If you go to a strip club and there's a dancer on stage, you don't have to throw a dollar bill at her. You take out your credit card and you tap her vagina. And that's it, you know. She looks down at you. Is that a dollar or five, or what are you tipping me here? Just tap me here. Oh yeah, baby, tap me. Yeah, the technology is amazing, isn't it? So anyway, so I'm going through my junk drawer, and I don't know how much I have in loose change. I think it's something around like maybe $40 or $50 or $60 worth of change here. That's a significant amount of money. For $50 or $60, I can buy a cantaloupe or a candy bar. But what do I do with this loose? I'm not going to roll this stuff. I don't think banks want change anymore because nobody deals in change. We should be rounding things up to the nearest dollar. I really, up or down, you know? There shouldn't be pennies anymore. Take them out of circulation. There's really no point. Stop this madness. I read an article a couple of years ago. That's the end of the sentence. I read an article a couple of years ago, and it said that it costs more money for this country to produce pennies than it does the actual value of the penny. And to me, that's a little stupid. Someone should say, we're not making pennies anymore. We're going to round it up. If you're going to give me an argument about rounding up, like if it's like $3.78 and you give me $3.80, if you're going to complain about 2 cents, you don't belong in this human race. Just stop it. We are so, get rid of the pennies already. If I see a penny on the floor, I am not picking that up. Let somebody else do it. I'm not going down there for a penny. And again, the one place where not only is the penny still significant, but even the fraction of the penny is significant. Can you tell me where that is? Raise your hand if you know where that is. That's right. It's when you go to the gas station and you get gas. Because gas is never $3.52. It's $3.52 and 9 tenths of a cent. 3.52.9. I don't know how we're still doing that. If someone could just explain it to me. And it's always 9/10 of a cent. It's never 8/10 of a cent, ever. It's never 7/10 of a cent. It's never 6/10 of a cent. It's always 9/10 of a cent. That's a psychological mind screw is what that is. Gasoline, it's only $3.79.9. What? That would be $3.80, wouldn't it? I mean, if you put in exactly a gallon, how do I get my change? How do I get my tenth of a cent back? They round it up. Why are we doing 9/10 of a cent? Only on gasoline do we see that. Could someone explain that? Any of you listening to the show, can you explain to me why they do that? What? Are you over there in the back? Yeah, you in the pink sweater. By the way, strange choice in colors on the sweater. Yes, what is your name?
My name is Bob.
Okay, Bob. Why do they have 9/10? By the way, thanks for coming to the show.
You're welcome.
Why do they have 9/10 of a cent there in a gas station?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Why'd you raise your hand?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, get out of here, Bob. Jeez. How'd you let this guy in? Recently, the Supreme Court... Whoa, he's skipping into another subject. I guess he's exhausted the other one, I suppose. The Supreme Court, fairly recently... the Supreme Court, all of a sudden, is taking drugs. Have you noticed that? They're making decisions, reversing decisions. They're going nuts. They're just playing with everything they got. I guess they went for so long without deciding anything. And they were sitting around in their robes. Their robes were just getting dirty and nothing was happening. So the Supreme Court decided, oh, we're going to start doing stuff now. We're going to reverse things that we did before. I don't know. We'll come up with some new shit as well. So here's what they did recently. They said that if you have a license to carry a gun, that you don't have to conceal it anymore in public. Oh, I see. No, you can carry a concealed weapon, apparently. I don't know what I don't know exactly what it was. All I know is it's pissing me off because things were just fine before. Did somebody actually complain about this? Does the NRA just make things up and, you know, and I don't understand. I don't understand. Shouldn't everything be a question on the ballot? Why do we not do this? Why didn't they just do that? Why didn't everybody just vote? Why don't we vote like once a week? And if they want to change something, Supreme Court my ass, kiss it, baby, kiss both cheeks. Get off your high horse. I mean, you're like a step away from wearing powdered wigs. You've already got the robes. Stop it. Stop it. Do you remember how we broke away from English rule where they wore the robes and the powdered wigs? We hung on to the robes, apparently. The wigs, fashion statement, not great. Everything should be a ballot, all important things, and I will decide if it's important or not. The public should be voting. That's what a democracy is. We shouldn't have some court or some bunch of people who are assigned to a job for life. What kind of job? There are only two jobs where you're assigned for life. Being on the Supreme Court and the Pope. Beyond that, you can't hang around that long. You got to get out of here unless the public says, no, you can stay. But if the public says, no, you can't, you have to stop doing that. Supreme Court and the Pope, they have a lot in common. They all wear robes. That's about it. I don't know. I don't know how democratic we really are. But a lot of these things should go to a vote. This Roe v. Wade thing, which sounds like a really bad boxing match where they were reversing the decision. No, actually, Roe won. No, how about Wade? It sounds like something you do out on a lake. Should we row the boat versus the idea of wading in the lake? Row, wade in the lake, Roe v. Wade. Has nothing to do with abortion whatsoever. I guess these were the people's names. Coincidence, I suppose. Both had to do with boating on the lake. Anyway, that decision should have been a national referendum because that's the democratic way. If most of the country wants to lean in that direction, okay, I live here, I got to go along with you. But to have somebody decide, I interpret under the rules of the Magna Carta, under the auspices of the King of Israel, I so deem in the kingdom of hell that this shall be decreed and the land shall be acting accordingly to my decree and my judgment upon you. That's what it feels like. As opposed to, hey, everybody, should we do this? No, yes. All right, whatever. Raise your hands, please. Those that think we should reverse Roe v. Wade, raise your hand. Oh, okay, not enough people. All right, whatever. Maybe next time. That's the way things should be. Yeah, the temperature of the country varies every once in a while as far as opinions are concerned. But I have to, as long as I sign up to live in this country, I have to go along with whatever the popular vote is. I don't understand. I think someone should look up the definition of democracy and kind of figure out what it really should be going on here. The Republicans don't care for, apparently, the definition of democracy. They're just trying to go back to the old English ways of deciding for you whatever they feel like they want. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I don't know. I just don't know. All I can tell you is it's what they call the midterm elections. Sounds like a test you're going to take in school before the semester is over. Anytime there's an election, you better move your ass and participate, because if you don't, I don't think you really should be here. If you're not going to participate in the very existence in which you operate, and you're just going to tag along with everybody else, I don't think you can think too much of yourself. You make your opinion known on social media. Oh, you do that. How about going to the polls and doing it there too? All right, that's enough of me. I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. Thank you so much for being here. I hope everything's going well. Perhaps it's not, in which case I'm so sorry. If things are going well for you, I'm very happy. I'm very happy if things are going well. If they're not going well, I feel for you, and I'm so sorry about that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. As I said, when we come back, my guest will be joining us. But first, this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Anthony Carino joins us now. He's a home renovation and improvement expert, and we're talking about your HVAC. What exactly does that stand for?
Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to be stupid, so I thought I'd double check.
That's all right. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Unless you live in a utopian kind of temperature, either you're doing the heat or you're doing the air conditioning, and these days it seems like the air conditioning is going like more months than the heat is.
You're not lying.
Yeah, I know. But in the back of my mind, I always think, oh, I hope this thing makes it through the day because it's really hot outside or it's freezing outside. I hope the system doesn't break down. I mean, we're kind of like in fear of something like that happening. And I guess if you maintain, chances of that are a little less.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, that fear is normal. It's a mechanical system that can be expensive to replace, yeah. And most people don't understand it. So I'm a big proponent in home education. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe homeowners should know the basics about their systems and allows them to, you know, to operate their home more efficiently. So I think you nailed it. It's about maintenance. And there are a couple of simple things you can do as a homeowner, as a quote-unquote DIY, mm-hmm. and then there's times that you want to be calling in a professional. I have a train system in my house, so I call a certified train comfort specialist mm-hmm. twice a year, and they come maintain
really?
The system.
Wow.
So real simply, what you want to be doing is changing your filter. Now, the filter change could not be simpler. You simply open the two little latches on the return air, mm-hmm. you fold down the grate, and you pull out the cardboard filter. Mm-hmm. Now, the cadence that you want to change that filter with, if you have allergy, you have asthma, or you have pets, mm-hmm. you want to be doing that closer to every 30 to 45 days. If you don't have allergies or asthma or pets, you can really do it every 90 days, so once a quarter. I simply set a reminder in my calendar, mm-hmm. and when the device buzzes me, I do what I'm told. And by changing that filter, what you're doing is allowing your HVAC system to operate more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So the way the air system works is the return air sucks the air in from your home. The unit conditions that air for either heat or cooling based mm-hmm. on the season, and mm-hmm. then your registers spit that air back into the room. Okay. So if that filter's clogged, the system has to work two times, three times, four times as hard to pull the same quantity of air in, condition okay. it, and then spit it back out to you so you and your family are comfortable.
Okay.
So simply changing that filter keeps the system running really, really yeah. efficiently.
Now, I see where the filters are for the air conditioning system. They're kind of obvious. Are there filters for a heating system as well? I don't see any of those.
So it's going to be the same filter that all the air runs through.
Really?
Yeah. So when your heat is on, you're calling for heat from a furnace or a heat pump. Mm-hmm. And when your air conditioning is on, that heat pump or that furnace is off. The air, that fan in the same air handler still runs to spin the air, but you're calling for cooling from the condensing unit that sits outside your home.
Okay.
So you have one set of ductwork in your house that blows either cool or hot air,
okay.
and it just depends on what device is on at what time of the year.
Okay. Some heating systems have the hot water thing, so there's no return system on that, I would assume, because I don't hear a blower going ever.
I think you might be talking about radiant heat. Is that?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Radiant heat is that's a different kind of heat altogether.
Okay.
That's that's water that's running through tubes in the floor uh-huh. and kind of emanates up. So okay. what we're talking about here is, you know, like a forced hot air system mm-hmm. or a hydro air system and air conditioning.
Okay.
That's where the filter changes, are really impactful.
Anthony, when I was a young kid there, we had air conditioning, a unit outside of the house. It was like decades and decades ago. And there was like a Freon or something that you had. Do they still use that? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, it's a different chemical now, much less harmful than Freon. That's a bit at the edge of my knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's where I call in my train comfort specialist and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about that, the recommendation is have your unit serviced twice a year. I do it in the spring and I do it in the fall.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to wait till it's super hot outside and you're desperate. You don't want to wait till it's super cold outside and you're desperate. If you have it serviced twice a year, you know, that train comfort specialist is going to say, hey, I found this or I found that or everything's in great working order. But knowing that they're looking at that expensive piece of equipment once every 6 months, the chance of them catching something before it's a catastrophe is much greater.
Okay. If for financial reasons one were to say, I can't afford to have someone come in like twice a year and check the units, is there a time of year, if you're going to do it annually, that would be better than another time of year?
I would just say spring or fall. Okay. And the thought process there is that when it's really hot summer, there's a lot of people who have failing systems, so you're paying more money.
I got you.
In the wintertime, you've got a lot of people with failing heat, so you pay more money. So if you stay in that temperate zone, even if you only do it once a year, to your point, it makes a big, big difference. And I understand you know, costs being an issue.
Yeah.
But what you have to really think about is if you don't service this thing, the cost of it going down on you in an emergency situation or going down on you permanently is going to be a lot more expensive than if you choose to maintain.
Yeah, one of my air conditioning units went out last summer, and they had to replace the blower and the unit outside. And we were talking about $10,000, and it was like, whoa! Should I sell the house or should I fix it?
Exactly right.
All right. What about gas versus electric for heating options?
Yeah, so it's a question I get all the time, and the cool thing is the answer now is yes, meaning the technology's gotten so good. Train actually has what's known as dual fuel units.
Mm-hmm.
So you have both an electric heat pump and a gas furnace built into one unit, and the best part about it is that the system knows when to use which power source.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is an electric heat pump runs very efficiently on your utilities when the outdoor temperature is above 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
When it's below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, that heat pump has to work extra hard to heat your home.
Mm-hmm.
So the train system will automatically switch over to the gas furnace as the outdoor temperature drops below 40.
Interesting.
So it will cost you a little bit more money investing in the system to have it installed, but I will tell, because I own one of these in my house in the Catskills, and the reduction in utility costs that I have seen is literally visible on a monthly basis on the bill. It's incredible.
Wow.
So if you're in the market for a new system, I highly recommend at least exploring the dual fuel systems, because the efficiency you get out of them is pretty spectacular.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, if you're in a home long enough, you're going to be hitting one of these questions. There's no question about that.
That's absolutely right. And I think, you know, the other thing to think about, because people always ask, well, you know, how much should I invest in this or that or a kitchen or a bathroom? You know, it's one thing to make an aesthetic decision that someone else may not like.
Yeah.
But it's another that you're putting in a quality piece of mechanical equipment that you can say, hey, I just put in a brand new train dual fuel system. It's got a minimum lifespan of 25 years. You know, that's something that has resale value for days.
Yeah, it's going to last longer than I will.
I hope that's not the case.
I hope so too. You're in the Catskills. I understand by what you just said. We're looking at extremes. We're looking at really cold winters and really hot longer summers. So this is
that's what I got.
Yeah. So this is not something that we're just playing with here as an idea. This is essential to your health in a sense, and your comfort.
Oh, without, I mean, it's essential to your health, but it's also essential to the health of your home.
Yeah.
When we're talking about really cold winters, we're talking about frozen pipes. And if you think it's expensive to replace an HVAC system, try replacing a flooded out home as those pipes melt and there's cracks in them. That is not a fun place to be.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a big deal, and I'll tell you, you know, we've talked about a lot here. Uh-huh. If anybody's interested in this stuff and they're in the market, you head over to train.com/residential, and you can deep dive any of the things we've been talking about here. They've got all their systems listed. You can okay. you can check out that dual fuel system
okay.
And see if it works for you.
Train is spelled the same way as a train?
TRANE .com/resident.
That's important. TRANE. Yep. Okay, great.
It is. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for bringing all this up. We appreciate it. And you have yourself a great one. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. Next time a weekday rolls around, we're going to do it again. Will you join me then? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Until next time, I wish you peace. Did you enjoy today's show?
It was unbelievably painful.